Welcome to Creating Abundance with Alana Cahoon, sharing inspirational stories from experts around the world. Tap into your inner wisdom at alanacahoon.com. Today's guest is Linda Kane, CEO and founder of Blue Diamond Events. Linda's diverse background and experience planning domestic and international events for over 25 years have positioned her and her team as the sought-after event producers in the entrepreneurial and coaching industry. She and her team are all about the heart and relationship of events and their clients. Linda's clients love her calmness under pressure and can-do attitude, as well as her Rolodex of the who's who in the coaching and entrepreneurial space. I'm going to read for you an excerpt from Linda Kane's chapter called Unleashing the Power within the book, Powerful She. She says, "The powerful she is not just about me. It's a celebration of every individual's potential to make a difference in the world. Through integrity, authenticity, and the relentless pursuit of excellence, I have channeled my passion for events to touch the lives of many." And with that, let's welcome Linda Kane. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Alana. Happy day.
Happy day. Every day is a great day. Yeah,
absolutely.
I try to wake up and say, today is a great day. Today is an amazing day. And if I forget, I'll remind myself later on in the day. It helps, doesn't it?
It helps. Absolutely.
Yeah, it gets the day going. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you? How did you end up as this incredible producer of events for transformational coaches and entrepreneurs all across the globe?
Oh my gosh. Well, a long, long time ago, in a, when I was in high school, I was working for a catering company. I'm born and bred here in Southern California. I've lived here all my life in what they call the Inland Valley. We're near Pasadena, if you know, the Rose Bowl every year, Arcadia, where there's a racetrack. That was my playground. That's where I grew up. And I like to say I'm an hour from anywhere, because we can get to Lake Arrowhead, Big Bear within an hour to go snow ski. We can get down to Newport Laguna Beach within 35, 40 minutes to, you know, be with at the ocean. We can get out to Palm Springs for the desert in about an hour and a half. And I can get over to Santa Monica, to the pier, you know, Malibu, that area, you know, in a little bit of about an hour, hour and a half as well. So we really live in a beautiful spot, and a lot of people come to this area. We've got, you know, Disneyland and the observatory, and the LA Zoo is one of the largest zoos. And so it's just been a wonderful, great place to grow up in. And when I was in high school, I was working with this catering company, and we got a golf tournament assignment with one of our major law firms in LA. And so everybody at the catering company did not want to organize the golf tournament. And the only thing I knew about golf is that my father did it every Saturday. And so they assigned me. And so I was like, okay, I'll take this challenge on. And so I went to the pro shop at one of our local golf courses, spent an afternoon with some people there, and kind of figured out how they run the tournaments, what it's all about, met with the people from the law firm, and one of our team members put it all together. And what happened from that, and then why it's so important to my story, is that one, it shows that even if you haven't done an event and you want to do an event, you've never done one, you can figure it out with some support, and you can have it be successful and add it into what you're doing for your business. And it can be a wonderful way of growing and bringing people into you. And what happened for me is that I realized that really anything is possible. It's just a matter of knowing how to do it, figuring it out, having the right resources, and bringing people together. And so after this tournament, the firm called me back. They gave me an intern that summer, And that fall, I started in their marketing and events department. And I was with them for 10 years, and we did a bunch of amazing things. We ran some trade associations. We got to work with the LA Zoo in their fundraising that they do for the animals. We got to work with a lot of, the firm was a celebrity-based firm. We did a lot of international programs. We had a lot of celebrity clients. So we got to work in a lot of those different things. And at the end of the day, it was, I probably did just about every kind of an event that you can think about, including helping our partners with their international trips that they'd like to take. And so I was at a Bob Proctor event, and I met Adam Urbanski, the marketing mentor, standing in the back of the room. He's like, you know, what are you doing here? How'd you get here? And I was like, you know, well, I organize events. And, you know, I met this person who, you know, got me into this event, and I do it for our law firm. And he's like, well, I've got some events coming up. Would you like to work with me? And I'm sure, what do you do? And that was my introduction to what it was like to be an entrepreneur. Yeah. And so through working with Adam, we did about 3 or 4 events with him. And about 6 months after that point, I decided that I was going to open up my own event company and serve entrepreneurs, speakers, authors, coaches. And that's where we've been. This is our 21st year, and we love it. I have a team of about 4, and we've been able to go all over the world with our clients and continue to do so. Even in COVID, we figured out a way to keep it going with the virtual events and smaller events. And I love it. It's just, nothing is impossible, and you can really create what you want to create. And our clients can bring events into their business. Like I said, whether it's just a small event with 10, 20 people, or you're doing a bigger, larger event, it just really depends on what you and your audience want.
Right, right. That is so inspirational. Thank you for sharing that, Linda. And what I love, I just want you to know that where you live is one of my ideal places. I was in Laguna Beach last year and Big Bear many years ago. Yeah. And so now you might have a visitor just saying hi.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. It's really a great place to live.
It is. It's just beautiful. So that's wonderful. What a blessing just to be born in such a place of, to me, it's paradise. And then that you said anything can be done with, you know, you have the mindset and the resources. And I think that's a really important piece for entrepreneurs. Any entrepreneur out there listening to this, if you're thinking about taking your idea into the world as your own company, as a solopreneur, even as a solopreneur, it's important to have a team in place. So can you give us an idea of what that was like for you when you start, or, you know, when you actually realized that you needed to hire support, and how did you do that?
Oh, wow. So when I decided to leave the firm, I sort of just looked around at some people that I was already working with in Adam's group to see what they were doing. And back then, having a VA was, it wasn't like having a VA now where there's teams all around the world. It was really looking to the local, you know, resourcing what you could do locally. And I went to a work fair at a local high school, and I got invited to come and speak about what it was like to be, you know, doing events and working in the, you know, in the firm at the time. And so I did this work day, and I asked who in the class was interested in hospitality industry and, you know, working, learning how to do events and things like that. And this gal raised her hand, and she was like all in her little cheerleader outfit. And I was a cheerleader in high school, so we had this immediate kind of kismet. Anyway, her name is Lisa Benavides. And so she started with me 3 days after graduating high school and has been with me ever since.
So oh, what a great story.
Yeah. So she's, become like family for us. And I've watched her, raise her three daughters and do some amazing things herself. In this space, in this industry, she really has a love for young moms and how young moms are able to, work in the, I work in the side, in this entrepreneurial space, bring in some extra income, but also have a mission. And so each one of the gals that works with me, and our boys, our guys in the AV team, each have side things that they do. And we support them in those things that they do. So, so then we have Lisa come aboard, and in the early days, Lisa and I, the firm was my first client, besides Adam Urbanski,
Okay.
and we continue to work with the trade associations. We continue to do some of their special projects and work on their partner retreats for their annual partner retreats. And so as Lisa and I started building Blue Diamond, we started getting away from the associations and bar associations and things like that. So we had a couple other people that were working for us at that time. So we sort of, gave those positions and projects over to those ladies
Yeah.
to run, and they're still running them. So it's a lot of fun. We tap back in to see how things are going from time to time. And then we just forged ahead in building these relationships. So we've had the privilege of working with some of the top thought leaders and entrepreneurs in the coaching space, Rich German, Milana Leshinsky, Lisa Cherney, Lisa Sasevich, Cynthia Kearsney. We ran the Unstoppable Foundation and fundraising event for several years. Gosh, the list just goes on. And it's just been a lot of fun. And most of our clients, we have long-term relationships with our clients. And what's really great is people will, do events 3 or 4 years, and then they'll take a break. Maybe their audience has changed, or they're trying something different, or, they want to go and like Rich German right now is all about his Project O and raising funds and awareness for cleaning up our oceans, especially along the coast of California and north and south of us. And then, but there was a time where he went away, then he came back, then he went away, then he came back. And so it's just a lot of fun because our clients are here for the long haul and the long term with us.
Sounds very, very exciting. Really fantastic. And I recognize some of the names. So how exciting to not only support these influencers, leaders in personal and professional development, but to be able to learn. Like as a I've run some events myself in the past. Are you able to listen, pay attention? And so like and usurp some of their wisdom as they're speaking and presenting, or are you just on, like backstage management the whole time?
No, it's that's an interesting point. Every event I go to, there's a light bulb somewhere. It's either in my, it's like, oh, I need to do that for myself. Or, oh, that'd be great to, that doing that would be great to do as a team. We can do team building on it, or we could do, go have a spa day ourselves or whatever, but there's our focus is our client. And so that's primarily what we try to stay in attention to, reading the room, how is the room responding, what often hosts are on stage and they'll go off on a tangent. So we'll write a little note, good story, but don't forget to talk about this. You wanted to make a point during this section on this.
Oh,
So we
that's
will
really
do,
great.
yeah, we will do things like that. And I'll just share with your listeners one time. It's so funny. It was at an Adam Urbanski event, one of the early days, and we were just learning about energy and how energy affects energy in the room and energy affects you, and we were just learning about things like being able to put up a personal barrier if there's certain things that are happening in the room. For example, if there's a real transformational event taking space, for instance, if people are going deep in a meditation, or they're doing some sort of breathing practice or tantra or any of those kind of things that some people do at their events. As a team, there are ways to basically check out so that you're not absorbing anything that's going on in the room, but you're able to stay focused on your job and task at hand. We had Adam had a guest speaker who was taking people through what is, I guess, best described as a past. They were clearing things in their past that caused them to stay stuck. Yeah. And so they were in a very deep transformational thing that they were doing, and a meditation that they were doing. And my team, I had one person in the back of the room, and two people were near the circle, near the half circle that had been created, in this intimate space. People had brought their chairs together and they were sitting around, and the instructor was going through this process. And I had stepped out of the room to handle something with lunch or something like that. And I came back in, and I had three team members in the room. Two of them were flat out on the floor. And I was like, okay, we're having a church service here and everybody's like laying in the spirit or something's going on. And it was hilarious. And I was just like, oh, okay. And then one of my team members was just kind of like, hey, I'm really like, I don't feel very good. And I'm trying to sit in the room and pay attention, but I think I need to step out. And I'm like, yes, go step out.
Yeah.
And get some air, take a walk, go drink some water, hydrate. And so then I went over to Adam and his wife, Bo, and I'm like, what's going on? And I said, so-and-so are like flat out. And he goes, oh, shoot, we forgot to tell them how they can like not listen so deeply and still serve the room and be there for people, but not listen so deeply. We're sorry about that. So we just had to let them go through the transformational exercise and come out of it. And because it was one of those situations where people had gone into a deep meditation and you don't want to wake people up. You don't want to go shake them out of it. You have to let them come out of it for the best experience and stuff. So that was my first time of really learning and learning what it means to pay attention in the room. Or be support in a room.
Yeah.
And so, fast forward, we've had many times where we've had experiences that, because you never know, like every event is not like a rah-rah session and you just have guest speakers and it's all networking and things like that. Sometimes events are really around a transformational experience or learning a new modality. And so as event hosts and as event service providers and support for that event host, you have to get very clear with your host what the team needs to be doing in the room during certain exercises.
Right.
And so just, we bring that to our audiences and we bring that to our hosts.
Yeah, this is so much fun. I love that you shared this story as well, because welcome to the world of energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was your introduction when you go through a energy clearing meditation, which is a healing. Whether your two staff were, it sounds like they were experiencing the transformation themselves, but also you can pick up the energy from a group.
Mm-hmm.
So doing group healing like that, I think, is very tricky. And you really, this is for everyone listening or watching. It's so important to create a safe level of detachment and to know what your role is. Even if you are in the group being healed, to be sure it's just your healing that's taking place and you're not taking on the person next to you who's going into a deep zone too. Vibrational energy is, this is, it's all the unseen that's all around us at all times. So I think that's really neat that you were able to just allow them, and you called it a church service, like, okay, you can just go through whatever you're going through. And so, and then that reminds me of how there's the tech, right? There's the, like, I called it the backstage. I have a degree in theater. So I used to be on stage and backstage, just love all of it. And there's, you're wearing two different hats. You're wearing the director's role, right? Mm-hmm. You're the producer and the tech staff, the AV, versus the, in this case, it's not acting, but it's the coach and it's the healer and it's the audience who's going through the transformation and learning, whether that's for business or personal, right? Removing those blocks. So what did you put into place to support you and your team so as not to enter into that vibrational zone in future meetings and events?
Great question. So one of the things that we do is we have an all team meeting with our hosts and anyone that's supporting our hosts at events. And it includes our tech. It includes, you know, whoever's going to be at the event. And we, when we, and we run through the key components of the event. So you don't have to have, you don't have to run through every single minute of the event. But you do need to run through, you know, start, breaks, and end times, but you need to run through those key components because those are the things that people miss. And it all goes to the experience that the host wants the audience to have. And in every event, there's those ebbs and flows. So there's bringing the audience to a point, teaching and training, taking them, transitioning to the next point, teaching, training, transitioning to the next point. And whether it's a, our next guest speaker is going to be so-and-so, and then we're going into networking, there's still an ebb and flow in that. You want it to take a, you know, it's like going down a path and you're traveling across the U.S. and you're going to see sights. You know, you're going to stop here and have this experience, then you're going to get back on the road, drive a while, and then you're going to stop for nourishment. Then you're going to get back on the road, drive a while for another experience. An event is very similar. And so whether it's a true deep transformational event, or it's just a regular 3-day enrollment program where you're trying to sell into your high ticket offer, those events have energetic ebbs and flows. And so as a support team, you want to be aware of those key moments. You want everyone in the room to be aware. So you want, and you want everyone paying attention. A lot of audiovisual and tech teams are brought in virtually and in person, and they're just sort of there. And they don't really know what is happening in the room. And they're just kind of there to do their job. They turn the speaker on, you know, they you know, play some music, maybe they play a video, and they're just looking at the production piece and they're not really tapped into the energetic piece. So one of the things that we learned early on is to how to tap into that energetic piece for everyone. So our tech teams will get a debriefing as well. And so all of us know, like, okay, if it's a true transformational event and the client is taking people through a meditation or things like that, we've done things like where we're in the room, we're watching, the thing starts, and then we know to maybe look down and read something or just meditate ourselves and be at peace. Like, just we're listening, but we're not absorbing.
Yeah.
And I've even had it where we've had a couple clients that do breath work, and in the breath work, it's dark and you have low lighting and people are going into deep, deep, you know, breathing exercises, and maybe there's facilitators walking around. So we've actually sat on the ground under the table so that we can't see.
Oh.
But we can
that
hear.
That is so great. That is being very creative and resourceful.
you know, and
here, so you don't miss any cues, but you're not, you're really creating that
and safety. We've even had like our tech table, we've actually like put a little pipe and drape up in front of them so that it's, you know, they can go like this and see, and then they're like this and they're back down. They go like this and see, and they're back down.
Oh.
And yeah, so each event is in, and regular, I call them regular events, but the 3-day enrollment programs or workshops and things like that, where there's not as much transformation, but it's great, you know, information and training and teaching. Even in those programs, we always want to have somebody in the room. We never like to leave our room unattended because there's always things that go on.
Yeah.
And we've learned to watch, you know, the room and pay attention to the audience as well. Just not only the host, but are people fidgeting? Are they getting up and out and going to the bathroom a lot? And, what's being taught at that time? You know, is it somebody selling from stage? That's a good thing to let the host know. If it's a sales event and there's a guest speaker who's selling from the stage and the audience is up and down and in and out, then that means, at least historically, that has meant that this audience is reacting to the sales conversation and the money conversation. Yeah. So the host needs to know, like, hey, while this person was presenting this and talking about their offer and making a bit, you know, making a presentation on and an invitation, which the host maybe has not done yet.
Yeah.
And we know that's coming. You might be aware that your audience might need some free mindset stuff around where they are, how they're investing themselves. Are they taking opportunities that are coming along? So all of those kinds of things come into play at an event.
There are so many elements, and you're just, everything you're saying, you sound so professional. Like, you've thought of it all and you've probably experienced it all.
I would say we've experienced a lot. There's never all.
That's true.
Because every event we do, and even repeat events, like where we've had clients and we're doing, you know, their ninth, you know, JV program or their ninth event or their ninth whatever, even clients, because the audience brings everything new. Every audience, you can teach and train on the same exact thing verbatim, but your audience is going to bring out a different energy, and your audience is going to bring out a different element of the training. And that's why knowing your audience is so important at an event. I'll give you a quick example. Jay Fassett, who a dear friend and client of longtime client of ours, runs a company called a brand called JVology, and it's a joint venture, teaching people how to do joint ventures a little differently than JVIC and a few of the other companies out there that are teaching joint ventures as well. But Jay had an event coming up and a few years back, and it was maybe his fourth or fifth JVology. And as hosts, you can get into a little boredom because you're delivering the same program over and over and over. And the only thing maybe that changes for you again is your audience and also your guest speakers. But if you're not careful, you're not paying attention to your audience. And so we had done an assessment out to his audience. And when the assessment came back, we were trying to like find out who had done joint ventures, what they knew what joint ventures were, how many had they done, what kind of success had they had. And what came back was like, what's a joint venture? I'm signing up because I want to learn. So he found out that he had a really new audience. He didn't have a seasoned audience coming to this event. So the things that he was going to teach and train on didn't match to the audience.
Oh.
And so by doing that pre-event assessment, it gave him time to switch his first day around run a couple tracks for advanced people and beginner people. So we were able to do a couple breakout sessions that met people exactly where they were. Yeah. So by the time day two came, when he wanted to go into his offer, people understood what his offer was going to be. Had we not done that, he would have had more than half of his audience not understanding the offer, and therefore they wouldn't be able to make that decision whether it would be something they wanted to move forward with or not.
So what I'm hearing is then you think you might know your audience, but you might not. And so by doing this pre-assessment, you, as in this situation, he discovered that there were a lot of newbies. And so he had to tailor his opening day to train more versus jumping in.
Right.
Yeah.
And he sent out a couple, you know, read this before you come things, so that people would, you know, have that awareness. And this is something that hosts don't do, is they know who they want to bring in, but they don't know who the audience is. So maybe their messaging for their event has been targeted to their avatar, to whoever they really want to come to the event. But then who comes into the event, there may be a disconnect.
Okay.
So it might be, the person might be their ultimate avatar, but maybe where that person isn't quite where they need to be for the event. So they have to be able to
that season
be brought in. And so doing surveys, doing assessments, or once, you know, like, have you ever signed up for something and then you don't ever hear from the host until like a couple weeks before? And then it's like, can't wait to see you in 2 weeks. And you're like, oh, shoot, it's on my calendar, but I kind of forgot about them. So the best way to keep your audience informed that they're going to come to your event and making sure that they're going to come to your event is, once somebody has signed up for a ticket, have two or three pre-event engagement things for them. So either invite them to a special webinar where they're going to meet some people, or send out a survey, or send out something for them to do, or here's 10 tips, or, you know this, or practice this, or read this before you come, and have some pre-engagement. It keeps you front of mind. And also it makes them feel like they're getting a little bit of pre-event education and connection. And so they're learning a little bit more, and then therefore they're going to be more excited to come.
Linda, thank you so much. You're coaching. We need to wrap up now, but so I know that you said your next venture is in coaching, and everyone here has just gotten a taste of that. We just learned so much about what goes into an event, and thank goodness you don't have to worry about all these details. Linda will worry about them.
<We will>. Yes,
that's wonderful. So I think, speaking of freebies, you have a gift for everyone.
We do. We have our Profitable Events, a Complete Guide. And basically what that does is it breaks down the four standard types of events: virtual, hybrid. Hybrid is where you have a virtual audience and a few people in the room with you. And then an in-person event and retreats. And so those are kind of basically the four types of events. And then from there, you decide things like summits and challenges and workshops and working retreats and destination retreats and all of those fun things. But the guide breaks that all down for you, so you get a little better feel for maybe what kind of events you want to bring into your business.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And how can everyone reach you? What's your website?
Our website is Events by Blue Diamond. And
that's B-L-U.
Right. No E.
Blue Diamond. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the reason for the no E is because one of the rarest diamonds in the world is a blue diamond, and it was it's escaping me this morning as to which king discovered it and gave it to which queen, it was one of the French kings, but anyway, and they left the E out of it, so we adapted the BLU because it's rare, and that's what we feel we are. We're rare. We feel like we are rare in the industry.
You are the rare diamond. Events for coaches, entrepreneurs, authors, and speakers. Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. And to everyone listening, whether you are watching the summit or listening to the podcast, Remember, it's about creating abundance for radiant health, wealth, and happiness. All you need is a plan, an idea, and step into it. Believe in yourself, and you'll get everything you need to move forward. Until the next time, namaste.
Thank you for listening to Creating Abundance. Be sure to like and subscribe. Stay tuned for the next podcast and get your free ebook at alanacahoon.com/ebook.